It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The three finalists to host the Democratic National Convention are Houston, Miami Beach, and Milwaukee. And Mayor Tom Barrett thinks the most stable and pleasant of those three in a random July is his city on the western edge of Lake Michigan. You never know when the South will be hit by a tropical storm, you know. Weather is one of the things Milwaukee touted as it hosted people from the Democratic National Committee earlier this week. It's also pointing to its brand new taxpayer-funded stadium and its mostly new repaired highways, and the fact that Wisconsin is a purple state that unexpectedly went to Donald Trump in 2016 and Democrats ignore at their peril. So what are our chances? Bill Glauber is a politics and general assignment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was following the site selection committee around last week. Bill, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good. It was quite a few days with the Democrats in town, and I think the city probably did pretty well.
Okay, good. So this is a possibility. How do you think this would benefit Milwaukee if we landed the convention?
Well, there would be up to 50,000 visitors over the four-day period for the convention. The local bid committee claims that it could have an economic impact of $200 million.
Wow.
You always take that with a grain of salt, though. You really don't know. But the other thing that the local bid committee has been talking about is that it would put Milwaukee on the map nationally again, show the city off to the nation and the world for that period of the convention. And there is something to that. Of course, Cleveland got a boost hosting the Republicans back in 2016. Philadelphia hosted the Democrats. Basically, you're a backdrop for a really big television show.
It is a really big four-day television show. Talk to me about the long-term economic impact. Is it possible, for as we're setting up for an event like this, that we also think long-term in terms of infrastructure and other improvements?
Well, the infrastructure is basically done. It's the arena, it's the area around the arena that people would be looking at, and that area around the arena, as it grows, you're going to have an entertainment district over there, and then you're going to have some mixed use eventually over the years as they build in that area. It's about a 30-acre site there that we're talking about beyond the arena. So I think that's what you're looking at over the next few years as the Bucks ownership group, fills that area in. So it's a new part of the city, and for those, who aren't aware, it's where there used to be a highway run through. They took that down. That land was, sat fallow for many years. And then, of course, it became the site of the arena and the arena district.
In terms of long-term issues in jobs, I assume we're going to have to hire people to get this ready. When is that hiring going to start? And do you know approximately how many people they're looking to hire?
Well, hiring, I don't know. You run a convention with volunteers. Hmm. And you try to keep your costs low, obviously, in going into the convention. The local committee is going to have to raise upwards to $70 million with one of the three winning cities. And that helps you stage the convention, pays for things like rental at the arena, rental at the convention center, the buildings. And then the build-out of some of the infrastructure in Milwaukee, you would most likely have a temporary press facility built next to the arena that would be probably on the site of where the Bradley Center now stands. That's going to be taken down. But the longer-term economic impact that they're talking about is the publicity that you get for hosting a convention and reminding people, hey, Milwaukee exists. It was pretty interesting. You think in the long history of the Democratic Party, since 1900, They've only been to three Midwestern cities. It's mostly Chicago when they come to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, it was Kansas City and St. Louis. So it's a party that really hasn't come to the Midwest or different Midwestern cities. Whereas you think of the Republicans since 1980, they've been to Detroit, Cleveland, and St. Paul. So it's a different look for the Democrats to look outside of Chicago.
Interesting point.
And the other point to make, obviously, is that this is going to go on now for a few months. The Democrats, the technical advisory group has now visited Houston, visited Milwaukee. They're going to Miami Beach next month. And then ultimately it goes back to the DNC. Tom Perez, who runs the DNC, he'll have the ultimate say on where it goes. And for your listeners, he has some local ties. His wife is from Wauwatosa, and the in-laws still live here.
Okay.
And I can tell you from dealing with Tom Perez on a separate issue, he knows his way around locally. He knows the area.
So I want to talk to you about the politics of this. We've talked about what it could do for Milwaukee. I want to know what it can do for Democrats in this state.
Well, Democrats in this state, a couple of things. They have a tall order. They got to show that they can defend a U.S. Senate seat in the fall with Tammy Baldwin. They have to, try to knock off Scott Walker again, which they've failed to do with Tony Evers. So there's that short-term thing for the Democrats. Longer term, they're obviously trying to rebuild the party after the 2016 loss and, after many losses since 2010. Wisconsin obviously is going to be in play in 2020. It would be for the Republicans, would be for the Democrats. So the sense is that a convention here would help Democrats. Not a sure thing, but that's the conventional wisdom.
Would it unify them? I mean, the Democratic Party has kind of split into two, and there's one wing that has disdain for the DNC. Do you think that they would rally around a Democratic National Convention here?
I think that all points of that party would rally around a Democratic convention here. I think there's little question about that. But I think the more important politics is what it says about the Democratic Party nationally. They're basically, if they go to Texas, that would be planting a flag in an area of the country where they haven't done well in recent decades, mm-hmm. obviously. Texas used to be Democrat, then it became Republican. You get a sense that if Beto O'Rourke would defeat Ted Cruz in the Senate race down there, that would say a lot to national Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely that would happen, but you never know. O'Rourke is still the underdog. And then you have these two important statewide races here. And, all that sort of plays into it. Miami, obviously, Florida is a swing state.
Right.
And Democrats are seeking to recover there.
But there are hurricanes in July.
You have an interesting governor race there. And you've got, you've got
hurricanes in July.
Hurricanes.
I just want to know one more thing. When will we know?
We will know by early next year. It will heat up.
So after the election.
After the midterms. And then we will know by early next year.
We've been talking to Bill Glauber. He's a politics and general assignment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been talking to us about the possibility that Milwaukee might get the Democratic National Convention in 2020. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and that, of course, is a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, the only bike in the world that is known as much for its sound as its look and feel. Harley is born and bred in Wisconsin, and this weekend, the company is celebrating 115 years of making motorcycles with events all over the Milwaukee area. So I get pretty excited for these Wisconsin weekend segments. There's just so much to do in this state, but I am so excited to be talking about motorcycles in general and Harley Davidson in particular. We want you to call with your Harley stories. Do you have one? Was getting it the fulfillment of a lifelong dream? What do you love most about Harleys? Do you intend to join the festivities this weekend? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking this morning to Chris Urban. He is a customer experience manager for Harley Davidson. And Chris, I'm told that you are in charge of the celebrations this weekend. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
this is mine. Yeah, but a great team and obviously a great city and you know, great partners throughout the town that pull this all together.
Okay, so how long have you been planning this celebration? How long have you been, you know, looking forward to this?
So in I guess in truth, since we shut down the 110th, the real heavy lifting is we're about 20 to 22 months into the actual kind of making this all come together.
And what makes this different from the 110th or the 100th?
So what we really wanted to focus on this time was providing plenty of variety and different activities for not only our tried and true fans and customers and enthusiasts, but also, you know, providing an opportunity for those who perhaps aren't motorcycle riders or Harley-Davidson customers yet, but are aware of the brand or love the town or just looking for a good time. We want to make sure we had plenty of options for those types of folks as well to come in and you know, dare I say, sample what this culture is that we're so proud of.
And can we ride? Are there going to be opportunities to do test drives and things like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've got test rides at all the area Harley-Davidson dealerships. We've got 7 in total, ranging from, you know, Ukes down in Kenosha to Suburban up in Themesville, out to Wisconsin Harley and Oconomowoc, and then all the places and spaces in between, whether it's House of Harley in Greenfield or Milwaukee Harley-Davidson, who's actually showing off the location for one of their new spots down by the new stadium. So got a really great sampling of, you know, if you just bounce around the dealerships, you're going to get a real good feel for Milwaukee in general, but plenty of opportunities for people to throw a leg over and try one out themselves.
Okay, so I don't know that I'm asking this for a particular reason, but what's the one that may be closest to Madison?
The one closest to Madison would probably be Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've got a great dealer out in Madison as well, throwing their own party out there.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. That's even better. Okay, so talk to me about what kind of events we're going to be seeing at these various celebrations.
Yeah, so we're getting into the meat of it now. You know, just thinking about the schedule for today, kind of forward, we've got, I mean, we hit it hard starting at 7 o'clock this morning for some of our special Chrome Package customers who wanted a little plussed-up experience. And so we've got a couple special access things for them starting as early as 7 o'clock this morning at the Harley-Davidson Museum. We've got special tours for them. We've got a special powertrain operation tour from 7 to 9 for those folks out at our Pilgrim Road facility. But then even for anyone who wants to come down, and I guess it's a good time to remind folks that coming to just about everything I'm talking about will be absolutely free.
Good to know.
We've got demos starting at those dealers that I mentioned, you know, around about 8, 9 o'clock this morning. We've got Veterans Park is going to be opening around 10 o'clock this morning, where we've got a whole bunch of music and entertainment and great food and great motorcycles. And, you know, I'm particularly excited about the Ferris wheel that we have down there. It looks beautiful when the sun starts to go down with all the lights on it. And then, obviously, the Harley-Davidson Museum, they're running a great show down there. And I've been down there a few times over the week already, and it's just it's a lot of fun to go and kind of connect and really be, you know, in the place where that heritage is kind of housed, and really watch people from all across the world come in and really kind of touch it and feel it and share it with one another. We kind of start our racing programming today. We're going to be down at Great Lakes Dragway, giving people an opportunity to put their own motorcycle on the quarter mile and see what kind of times they can lay down, which will be a lot of fun. We're going to be practicing our beach race. Today we're going to put some bikes out there for a couple hours. We've got Bradford Beach all prepped and ready to go for, as far as we can tell, the first time a motorcycle's been on that beach in many, many decades. And we got an oval out there, and we've got all the fixings, and we're going to have ourselves a little race tomorrow, and it's going to be quite a bit of fun, a lot of energy there. And then tonight, we've got down at the U.S. Cellular Arena, we've been doing a thing over the past couple of years that we call Flat Out Friday, working with our partners with the Mama Tried Motorcycle Show, putting on an indoor flat track race on the concrete inside. You know, we've been at the U.S. Cellular, we've been at the Bradley Center. We're going back to the U.S. Cellular for tonight. Great entertainment. It's a lot of fun. It's a hoot. These are amateur racers who just love to get on their motorcycle, love to go fast, love to have fun with each other and race. We put some Dr. Pepper syrup down on the concrete to make sure we got some tack and some stick there. And we watch motorcycles go around, and it is an absolute blast. When we were there in February, you know, taking in that activity, people are starting to look forward to it in the middle of the winter, and I think this one to celebrate the anniversary is just going to be a lot of fun. So that's at the U.S. Cellular.
Okay, I got to follow up on this. Dr. Pepper syrup. Why Dr. Pepper syrup?
There's the highly scientific reason is that we think, and our partners over at the Flat Out Friday group think, that it kind of binds and sticks the best. So the amount that we need to put down on the floor and the way that it reacts to, you know, the motorcycle tires as they start getting heated up and the concrete, and then, of course, how it comes off the floor, because we certainly don't want to leave it all messy when we leave. So we want to pull it back up so that those facilities can resume operation with, you know, their hockey or whatever it else that they need to put down on that floor. So it works out. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. There's some spills. There's a few a few tip overs, but there's certainly a lot of bumping and a ton of smiles from both the racers and the fans alike.
So as I read through the list of events, you know, I grew up in Vegas, so I grew up watching Evel Knievel jumping over cars. And when I go through your list of events, it feels like Evel Knievel was just riding a tricycle. We've got the Moto Carnival, which is a high wire motorcycle thrills show. Something called
that's a fun one.
That's a what?
That's a fun one. Yeah, we've got down at Veterans Park, we've got Una's Circus, and she's modified a Harley and puts it up on the high wire, and then she's got a partner kind of doing all the acrobatics of Cirque du Soleil underneath as she goes back and forth on the high wire.
Wow. And talk to me, helicopter rides, a bungee slingshot, does that involve an actual motorcycle, or is this just separate from that?
No, and I guess to be fair, the bungee slingshot we couldn't get done.
Oh, okay. So, good.
The helicopter rides, we've been flying helicopters out of Veterans Park all week, and I promise, every time I'm down there, that thing touches down, it loads up a new group of people, and you go get a beautiful tour of the city. You get to kind of get that bird's eye view of all the different, locations, certainly over the museum, over Vets Park. It's just, people are really having a lot of fun with that.
We are talking about the Harley-Davidson 115th anniversary celebrations this weekend, and we are taking your calls. Are you participating in this anniversary? Are you excited for it? Have you come from somewhere else? Are you driving in as you are riding in as we speak? How far did you come? And if you don't own a Harley, would you like to own a Harley? What does Harley mean to you? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Chris Urban, people who are not familiar with these celebrations, you get hundreds, thousands of people who come in for these things, right?
Yeah, we've, you know, over the years, we tend to figure out a way to get about 150,000, 160,000 people in the town.
Wow.
And, you know, obviously we're putting it in a fairly large, you know, metropolis as well. So there's an awful lot of people running around and, you know, having a good time and celebrating Harley-Davidson.
We are talking to Chris Urban. He is in charge of the 115th anniversary festivities that are going to be taking place around the state at various Harley-Davidson locations, but pretty much centered in Milwaukee. We'll be back in a moment to take your calls about Harley and to talk to Chris some more about the festivities. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Harley-Davidson is celebrating 115 years with a series of celebrations this weekend around the Milwaukee area. Are you taking part in the festivities? If so, how far are you traveling to get there? Do you own a Harley? Or, like me, do you pine for one? Tell us about the first Harley you ever purchased. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking today with Chris Urban. He is the customer experience manager for Harley-Davidson. In short, though, he's in charge of making sure that this weekend comes off fabulously. Chris, I just want to say, in past celebrations, you have had, like, the Rolling Stones. You had some big-name musical acts, but you're focusing it not on the outside acts right now. You're focusing it on the motorcycle. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a really good assessment right there. We really wanted to, you know, make a big effort to make sure we focused back on the motorcycle and on riding and on the community, and not only the community of, you know, Milwaukee or the Midwest or certainly Wisconsin, but, you know, the community of motorcyclists. You know, it is a special bond that those that do throw a leg over a motorcycle and start riding motorcycles and really get into it and let it, you know, become part of their lives. It is a really special bond and community. Now, we do have plenty of live entertainment going on, whether it's in partnership with the multiple street parties that are going on throughout the city of Milwaukee throughout the weekend, or at the museum or Veterans Park. Last night down at Veterans Park, we had Lee Bryce down on the stage. That was a free show. We had Hairball down at the museum. That was a free show. We've got Jackal lined up tonight at Veterans Park, and we've got the record company, you know, taking the stage at the museum. So we've got plenty of entertainment, plenty of live music. Just kind of felt and listening to our customers and listening to people that had participated in some of the previous anniversaries, that wasn't quite as big a deal as buying a ticket to a show and buying a seat and sitting for, you know, hours at a time. They really wanted to get out and experience this great part of the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
and experience kind of their motorcycles and make some new friends and connect with some old friends. So yeah, we really focused back on the experience of riding.
So these races that you were talking about earlier, these amateur races, can anybody enter them, or is that entry period over?
Yeah, the entry period is over. We get a ton of interest in these types of things. So we opened up registration for these 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months ago, and in a couple of the cases. So that entry period is closed, but it is one of the things we really like about what is called, and don't worry about the term too much, it's just what we call them, this hooligan racing. It's the idea that, you know, taking your motorcycle and riding it down the road is amazing, and it's an amazing experience for most of the people that own motorcycles, certainly Harley-Davidsons. But there's always people want to take it a little bit further, and the interest of, you know, getting off the pavement and getting onto that dirt trail or going out with your friends and your buddies out into a field and racing each other around that next tree or racing each other out to the hill or whatever it is, that's kind of where all this is born from. So the idea of amateurs and just, you know, John Q. Public just deciding, hey, I want to go out there and you know, put some racing gear on and go mix it up with my friends and have a good time doing it, that's really what a lot of these amateur races embody and why we're so excited to have them as part of this anniversary.
So hundreds of riders are making their way to Milwaukee from different things called Rides Home. These are planned pilgrimages. Talk to me about the Rides Home.
Yeah, so again, focusing this back on the ride and focusing this back on the adventure and the experience of, you know, waking up in the morning, looking at a map or pulling your phone out and saying, okay, I'm going to go this direction until I'm tired or until I want to go a different direction. And that's kind of where these Rides Home are born of. It also gave us an opportunity to showcase our many great dealers across the country. You know, we've got the best dealer network in the world and certainly in the industry. And they're all unique, and they all have their own flavor, and they all have their own way of connecting with customers and non-customers alike. And these Rides Home really gave us an opportunity to you know, connect with folks that were planning to ride in and giving them some stuff to do along the way and you know, getting them off the bike, getting them fed, getting them something to drink, and getting them back on the road and showcasing this great family we have. You know, all the way through our dealers and customers across the country.
We are talking about Harley-Davidson as the company is celebrating 115 years with a series of events this weekend. Actually, it's already started on Wednesday in and around Milwaukee and Harley dealerships around the state. 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Becky from Wen Lake, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. So hopefully I'm going to inspire you a little bit.
Okay.
I'm a female motorcycle rider. I started out on a 2001 883 Sportster. Loved it, but it wasn't fast enough. So a couple years ago, I upgraded to a 2006 Dyna Lowrider, and I absolutely love it. And the thing I love the most about Harley-Davidson is I'm born and bred in Milwaukee. I think it's great that every time I ride, I'm riding something that is a complete symbol of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And being a female motorcycle rider, I have come to learn that while I find motorcycle riding to be completely normal and cool because I do it, there's still people out there that think it's incredible when they see a woman on a motorcycle.
Isn't that weird?
And I really hope that we know every time people see a woman on a motorcycle or they see me riding with 15 other guys and all of their wives are on the back, that maybe it might inspire them to go get a bike themselves.
Are you part of a motorcycle club of women? Is there a motorcycle, Harley Motorcycle Women's Club?
There are many, many motorcycle clubs through Harley-Davidson and through independent groups, but I'm not a part of a club just because I don't always have the time.
Right.
But I ride with a lot of coworkers, friends, family members, and then I get the really awesome opportunity to just go hit the road by myself. I don't need to ride with a bunch of people. I'm very confident riding. I can ride by myself. I took motorcycle classes, and Harley is the epitome of riding. When I go to dealerships, they never make me feel like I'm an outsider because I'm a woman. I go to dealerships on vacation, and the minute I tell them I'm from Milwaukee, they're like, oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's a great job. I love it.
Mecca. You're from Mecca. Yes.
That's
right,
great.
Exactly. So it's just, I feel like no matter where I am, even if I'm not on a motorcycle, but if I tell people I'm from Milwaukee and that I ride, it's like you just instantly created a friendship, and it's just so cool to be a part of this.
Becky, thank you very much for that. I will say that you don't need to inspire me. I would get a Harley in a heartbeat if I didn't have to pay for college. These are my choices here. I had to give up my motorcycle when I had kids. Chris, what do you say to Becky about this experience that she had?
It's fantastic. It's inspiring, every time, you know, and in my role and in you know, working for Harley Davidson, we get the opportunity to go across the country, across the world in some cases, and meet with people and see people just like Becky, who, you know, everybody has their unique story, and it's inspiring every time we get to hear somebody share that type of experience. And she's right. I was sitting over here just smiling because I can envision myself on that ride with her. And when you do pull into a dealership anywhere in the world and you say you're from Milwaukee, the place comes to a halt and they all want to talk to you. They all want to connect. And whether it's a dealership or not, you know, and I'm sure as Becky, you know, would agree, there's the connection when you're just out on the road,
mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, there is this connection with other motorcyclists, with other Harley owners, with other riders, and she's right. It, you know, for women riding, there's something magical about it. There's something really, really great, and people are really drawn to it, and it is awesome. And listening to the confidence in her voice, I'm quite certain that I'd, you know, she could lead a ride for me anytime. It would be great.
So here's the thing, though. I mean, there are rentals. There is such a thing as Harley-Davidson rentals.
Yeah.
So people who maybe can't afford a motorcycle can rent a motorcycle to take a ride, say, around the state of Wisconsin, or if they have another trip planned. There is a possibility for people who don't own a Harley to ride a Harley.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a really nice rental network, you know, certainly across the U.S. where, you know, whether it's, you know, you're out on a business trip and you got a day to kill in the middle of that trip and you want to go explore a little bit, or, you know, we have plenty of people who just go on vacation and it's, you know, some people like to plan a day to go play golf or go sit on the beach. We have plenty of people that say, hey, I'm going to plan a day to go ride a motorcycle around.
Right.
And really go experience this stuff out in the open air. And really all you need is, you know, as long as you got your motorcycle endorsement, they can get you set up, you know, get you hooked up right there and get you out on the road no matter where you are.
Yes. I actually want to explore western Wisconsin. I want to explore, like, the Lacrosse area by renting a Harley. So there is that. We are talking about Harley stories today as we celebrate the 115th anniversary of Harley-Davidson. There's going to be a lot of celebrations around Milwaukee that Chris Urban is talking to us about, but there's going to be celebrations in your area at various Harley-Davidson motorcycle locations, so you can go check those out. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're going to be back in a few minutes with more Harley stories from you and talk to Chris about what's going on this weekend. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Harley-Davidson is celebrating 115 years with a series of celebrations this weekend around the Milwaukee area. We'd like to know if you are taking part in these festivities, if you can afford one. Do you own a Harley-Davidson? Have you ever rented a Harley-Davidson? Where have you gone with your Harley? 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Chris Urban, we have some people who have called in already. Katie from Toma, welcome to the program, Katie.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you, I started riding a little early, later in life. I got my license when I was 53, and I've ridden nothing but Harleys.
Yay!
My first one was a 02 Softail Standard, and that one I took on a trip to Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas,
wow.
Missouri, and then we came home. we went down a road what's called the Tale of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, I've been to Sturgis before, but not during the rally. This year, we took what was called the Old Codgers Tour to Sturgis. We ranged in age in our little group from 57 to 72.
Wow.
And we had a ball, 2,100 miles. We went up into North Dakota and stuff. And the couple I ride the most with, she had a Heritage Softail, and I fell in love with it. So in 2016, I bought a brand new Heritage Softail, and I turned it over to 22,000 miles already. So you go get yourself a bike, girl.
I will. Don't. I will. You are giving me hope here. And Heritage Softail is actually what I have had my eye on for many, many years. Eugene from Viola, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I went through a dozen Harleys. I started out on a 1931. I had a 31, 34, 36, 37, 41, 45, all the way up to a 58. And my favorite was a 1948 61 cubic inch. They built those for about 10 years. And on a quarter mile, I could outrun a 74.
Wow.
Pretty much. And I still got the writer's handbook for the 58 I had.
Wow.
That tells you how to take them apart and put them back together. I had a 37. I blew a piston on it. I took one piston out, put another one in, got somebody to give me a pull, and it run, pretty much. But they were just a lot of fun to work on. You could switch your wheels. You drop the rear stand down, put some blocks underneath the front end, and you could switch wheels in about 15 or 20 minutes. But you didn't have your dealerships around then, so you had to work on them yourself and make all your own adjustments.
Hey, Eugene, this is fascinating to me. I need to ask Chris this. He's got a writer's handbook from 1958. He's got various tools and old motorcycles. Wouldn't these be something that you would want to put in the museum, or do we have these in the museum? Are these worth any money to him?
These are great artifacts, and we've got a whole bunch of the old, you know, the old booklets and owner's manuals and all that sort of stuff over there, but that'd be fantastic. I'd love to, check that out and see if maybe we're missing that year, or if we could go ahead and borrow that for a little bit to look through it.
Eugene, you might want to check with the Harley people, but before you get rid of any of this stuff, you may actually have some very valuable artifacts there. That's really fascinating. We're going to go. We've got a lot of calls here. We're going to go to Scott in Mauston. I don't exactly know. Scott, welcome to the program. How do I say the name of your town?
Hi. Hey, my story with Harley started in 2003, right before the 100th. At that time, I had nothing in the world but a dream to have a Harley by the 100th. And I didn't even have a job, so I started selling rainbow vacuum cleaners until I got enough to come up with the down payment, and then I got the bike, and I went to the 100th on the bike. In the meantime, a couple years later, I found myself as a chef with my thumb cut off. I couldn't work in a restaurant, and my uncle's best friend owned the dealership here in Mauston at the time. He gave me a job in shipping and receiving. 2 years later, I was the general sales manager. I've been there 12 and a half years, and I have met all the greatest people in the world. In 2009, actually, I sold more bikes to women than anybody in the country, which was just a very proud point for me at that time. And now I am actually not going to the 115th because I'm having the grand opening for my own business tomorrow, and the thing with the Harley is it's not just the bike, it's the dream and attaining the dream, which gives you the confidence to then go on and do the things that I'm doing now. It's been the greatest experience, and you meet the nicest people on a Harley.
That's really great, Scott. Chris, you just feel good about yourself when you're sitting on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
You do, and you feel even better when you get to share these stories with people.
Right.
You get It really, you know, I mean, the chills run up and down my spine every time I get to hear just the energy and the excitement, and like Scott just mentioned, the confidence.
Right.
Just throwing a leg over a Harley and you know, rolling the throttle on, it's indescribable. You have to do it yourself.
We've got more callers here. Dara from Madison. Welcome to the program, Dara.
Hi. I am a new rider. I just turned 20, and I got my bike at the beginning of this summer.
Yay!
And I took my class at MATC, and I met some friends, and we're actually going up to the UP this weekend, and we're all riding together. And it's just been a great experience for me. I love it. We have one other girl in our group. She's a mom with two kids, and we all love it. It's great.
So you're riding to the – what kind of motorcycle did you get?
I have a 2005 Sportster 883.
Awesome.
Yeah? Chris?
No, that's great. I love it. I love hearing the story. I mean, it's anybody can do it. It's
and 2005. I mean, Harley-Davidson's hold their value at this point, right?
They do. And they and the fact that we're talking about, you know, we had Eugene talking about bikes from the 20s and 30s, that, you know, 2005, 2003, they're built so well nowadays. I mean, they're beautiful machines, and they're going to start every time you fire them up. But yeah, it's great.
We are talking to Chris Urban about the Harley festivities for the 115th anniversary this week in Milwaukee, and taking your phone calls here. There are a few coming in. 800-642-1234. Darwin in DeSoto, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you being today?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. This program is just so heartfelt. Me and John Height are the people that put together the 200 XR750s so we could run our five racing bikes at the Daytona 200. Every single motorcycle Evel Knievel wrecked, I built.
Wow.
And it, oh, the old man, Roy Bauckelman, Leonard Andres out of San Diego, Harley Davidson. I mean, I've got the complete history because I done it all person to person, you know. And it's just the most beautiful piece of history I've ever had in my entire life. And I drive a 1941 Indian. I drive it into the factory, park it on the first story, go up to the sixth story on the first building, and we build those bikes, the 750 Hondas. I can tell you part for part what that thing is made out of, you know, the Seriani front end and poor boy frame. These are D-stroke motors down to 750cc. You could run at 8,000 RPM, and you could not hurt them.
Darwin, we've got another call and very little time, but I could spend probably an hour talking to you about this. Thank you very much for calling in. Sean from Fond du Lac, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you have, what do you have to say about Harleys?
Well, I've been riding Harleys for probably 20 years. In 2010, we drove a friend of ours out to San Diego to meet her husband, who was in the Navy, and I ended up renting a Harley from one of the local dealers. And it was a 24-hour rental, and we put about 500 miles on that bike. Really enjoyable seeing a different part of the country on the back of a Harley, and California is pretty beautiful, even in January.
Yeah.
60-degree weather was t-shirt weather for us. You know.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sean. We have been talking to people about Harleys, how much they love their Harleys, and what they're going to be doing for the 115th anniversary celebration, which is happening all around the state, but mostly in Milwaukee this weekend. Chris Urban is a customer experience manager for Harley-Davidson. Chris, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was fun. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.